episode 37.
Is it?
Yeah, 37.
Is that what it is? 37?
Yeah. Yeah, 37. Same age
as me. Well.
Fucking laugh.
No comment. It's, well, you know what they say. 37. The 37th podcast is always the best.
It's the start, it's the beginning of the end.
So brace yourself. Yeah, no, I mean, that's not bad going, really.
For us?
Times, yeah, 37.
37, wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it started off a bit different, didn't it? But we're here.
We've evolved, you know, we evolve. We're fluid.
We're fluid, yeah. I've had some good comments lately. People say they enjoy it. I was quite taken aback, really.
You what? Yeah, it does happen. What? That, like, at gigs and whatever, and you bump into people and they go, I love the podcast. Which, you know, you assume they're talking about another podcast.
You got us confused with somebody else. The Trickle Brothers have a podcast out as well.
What's he called? Joe Rogan. That's it. That's the big.
Or does he like it?
Oh, he loves it.
He sent an email.
Yeah, he sent an email. I want you on. Guys, what's your secret?
Yeah, well, he's king of the podcast, isn't he, that guy? Joe Rogan.
What, he sold it to someone.
Did he?
For like something ridiculous. Like hundreds of millions.
You go on social media, like on TikTok or whatever, and I don't, just on my feed, he's always appearing on there. Like, it's interesting. Like, he can say what he wants. He's kind of at that level where he's that famous and that rich. He just doesn't give a shit. He just talks about all sorts of crazy. Something's dead interesting. Like,
he
covers everything, doesn't he? All sorts of weird conspiracy stuff.
Yeah, all kinds of crackpots on it. Yeah,
I find myself ended up watching all this stuff about Egypt and how the pyramids were built and stuff like that. It blows my mind. I don't know what to think of it all.
It was aliens, man.
It's weird. Yeah. It is weird. We're not going to get into that. No, believe me. We will be here all day.
I was literally just going to get into that. But,
the science behind building pyramids.
Well, you know what?
Oh, no, I agree.
It's staggeringly impressive regarding the pyramids, because I went down that rabbit hole, and as with most conspiracies, I just cannot. What is it? Occam's razor? Is that the law where the theory with the least amount of assumptions is often like that's the right one. That's what happened.
Right.
So what? It's less like, I think it's more plausible that, you know, whatever they had going on back then, they were just shit at engineering.
Giant people.
Well,
giants.
They were just very, very good and understood physics. Humans, I find that more plausible than aliens.
They were highly, highly, highly intelligent.
I think people assume that, like, back then everyone was just like shambling
around.
Because
it's not just about how they built them, is it? It's about all the where they're aligned and all the stuff that they're in.
Yeah, the start, you know,
the numbers, the equator, and all that. It's all in line with this, and it is.
But is it? I don't know. I just think if aliens did do it or whatever people think, why not just make it obvious? Why not just make it more obvious? Why would it not be more obvious?
Maybe we're the aliens, man.
Well, whatever. Look, I'm going to get hate for this.
Come on, let's start. Let's stop talking about this anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
This is crazy.
What are we going to talk about?
We can do that. We can cover pyramids another day. Yeah. We're going to talk about your mate and mine, Josh Homme.
Yeah, well...
Is it Homme? Hommy?
Josh. I actually kind of... not often, but I agreed with what he had to say on the subject, actually. It was an article.
Great podcast,
I think he was on a podcast. I can't remember what it was.
He wouldn't come on this shit, would he?
But he basically said, and it was reported as the media does, that he criticised bands, like established bands, who avoid playing their, you know, their biggest songs at live. Like, they sort of out of some sort of whether spite or I don't know, just some weird reaction to it. And he basically said that, you know, he's obviously quite a connected guy, and he talks to you know, these sort of bands, and they show like quite a lot of disdain for the songs that, you know, that made them, you know, megastars.
That's interesting. I mean, I can understand completely. Well, nothing's ever made us megastars, so from that point of view. But in terms of being in a band that plays the songs over and over and over and over again, I can completely understand why you would get fed up of it.
Yeah.
It is your job, though. And I do find that when you play them... To be honest, I don't know, actually. I do like... I mean, it's not so much getting fed up. I don't get fed up of playing the same songs. I don't get fed up of playing Ratio or China Plates. I just sometimes have more of a desire to play new stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's exciting to me.
And you can't play it all.
And
maybe that is... Maybe there are songs that of ours that are popular amongst our fans...
To my mum.
yeah, to,
parents.
You know, literally dozens of people like
dozens.
Them. And they say, and you know, they want to hear these songs, but that I actually just not, the, I don't rate them as highly as people.
No, it's strange,
might
isn't
do.
It?
That's the reason why I might not want to play that. It's because I don't think it's good. Yeah. Where there are some songs of ours that I don't think I'll ever get bored of playing because, like, I just think they're great and I love playing it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Well, Nails is a great one, example of that. That's an old song, that now, and that I've never got fed up of playing that. It's because the reaction's good and people like it, but yeah, I do get what you mean. Do you think it's because some, I mean, I don't know, I'm only guessing here, but sometimes I think some bands who do that become so big, they just do it to test the water, or they just think, oh, fuck it, what's the worst that can happen? Let's do whatever we want. Yeah. They don't have to worry so much about picking up fans, or they don't have to worry about pleasing crowds. They can just go and go.
They can do that.
I don't care. We're going to play B-sides. Everyone's going to hate it.
Yeah.
Some bands make awful albums on purpose. What are they called? I was in a band called Promethean Metal Band. Drummer Alan was big into... bloody hell, the band name completely forgets me. Escapes me, sorry. But they were a massive cult band, metal band. And he was telling me all about them. And the big name, you know them, Max Cat. They'll come to me at some point in this podcast. And they made... he told me that he was banging to them like... Mars Volta.
Oh, yeah.
I think he told me that they made an absolutely awful album on purpose. Like, it was terrible, or he made it in a completely foreign language and made it dreadful, or they made an awful album, then made one in a foreign language, and they were all about completely booking what people thought of them, do you know what I mean?
Right,
they were just all about being, like, different all
That's
the time.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I'm sure it was them. I'm sure if he's... He'll probably say it wasn't them, but... I'm sure he told me that once, and I thought it was interesting.
I remember that one when we were like...
The Mars Volta.
When we make an awful album. Like, well,
I say it's on purpose.
Did that on purpose, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he told me that. I thought that was fascinating.
No, well, they're quite proggy, aren't they? So...
I think he lent me some albums. I think I'll give him back after a few years.
after an hour.
All the Mars Volta fans were going mad. They're one of them bands, aren't they? Yeah, the best band in the world, man!
You just don't get him.
You just don't fucking get it, man!
Yeah,
not American, of course. I don't know.
He made some good points, did Josh? He said he made a very good point, and he was, you know, acknowledging that, you know, No One Knows and Little Sister and all that. You know, he was like, I know, I'm going to play that every gig I ever do from now on. You know, that is, and he's like, that's fine. I've got no problem with that. But you know, he says you need. You know, I never really thought of this. He says that you need a kind of a base. I can't remember what the terminology he used, like a sort of base,
on
a plate, like the rice on your plate. Do you know what I mean?
The plate.
The plate itself.
The table, but the plate.
He was using food analogies.
I like him already.
A lot better than I was. A lot better than I am. And he was like, you need that. You know, you need your rice. You need your mash or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To decorate with the like, oh, you know, I wasn't expecting that to something different. It's like, whereas if it's just the random stuff every single time, then he says that can be confusing. And it just kind of, I don't know.
You can go a few ways, can't it? You can get, Josh Homme is in a great position there where, you know, obviously, I mean, yeah, I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but his biggest songs, he has what? I don't really follow him, but arguably to somebody like me, I suppose I'm ideal to comment because I'm not into him. To me, he has about three big songs. Your average man on the street, unless you're into him, and you'll go, yeah, you're wrong there, Barry, because they've got loads of big songs. I'll go, well, to me, because I'm an outsider, he's got three or four big songs that I know because I don't really listen to him. But he's in a great position there where he has to play them, and he can play other stuff. Whereas you get AC/DC, and they are a massive repertoire of massive songs.
Yeah.
One of the few bands in the world that kind of...
That spans decades,
yeah.
But that's the point, you know. Like, I think Queens of the Stone Age, I'm not really... It's talk about them in particular, but they... I know they had, that like, a couple of big albums. Was it Songs for the Deaf? And what was the one after it? But they had, like, a commercial period where they were, like... really sort of everywhere.
Was it like 2000?
Early 2000s, yeah. They're on MTV constantly.
I'll be on here, won't he? Commenting. You don't know fuck all.
You don't know nothing. And basically, you know, so it's quite a condensed period. And I don't know, they've been active a long time, really successful. But yeah, bands like your AC/DCs and why not? Let's mention them again. Kiss. You know, they've got careers that have spanned decades, and they've kind of been at the height of the, you know, for a long time. So it's like.
But it's odd though, because I suppose in a way I'm kind of wrong, really, because AC/DC are guilty of that, because they never play. Mm. They never play the other songs that people want to hear, do they? They play the same songs all the time, or mostly anyway, with the exception of playing new album tracks.
Well, yeah, I mean, the bands like that. Yeah, I mean, there's other factors that go into it, isn't there? I mean, I know there's certain songs that we don't do on tours anyway, because the taxing on your voice.
Well, that is a good, very good point. Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah.
And it's got nothing to do with how popular a song is or anything. It's just like, well, that.
Imagine having to. I don't know how John Orr does it. Like, some people might say he can't do it, but he obviously does do it. Oh, he sings for 2 hours every night on a 2-year tour, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not. These days, I think they'll do like maybe 2 shows a week. It takes them bloody days to set.
I suppose it does.
Set all them bloody statues and trains and whatever up, you know. Whatever they take around with them. Yeah. So it's a little bit different now, but back in the day, yeah, they would have, you know, they'd have been ridiculous. Yeah.
But yeah.
Shrieking his little Geordie heart out.
Yeah. But yeah, no, yeah, it's a strange one. Some bands I have heard. You do worry, don't you, as a band, when you go on tour or you go and do shows, you put the set together and you think, it's hard to know, isn't it? You've got to separate your own, what you feel is good for the crowd, is good for the crowd to see, and then what you feel they feel they want. You think, this is going to be banging, we're going to love, that we are going to, these songs are great, I have faith in these songs, and we're going to play our heart out playing these songs, and they're going to love it. And then you go on, you play them, and then it's like, sometimes it's like, oh, fuck, was this the right decision? Because you always want to move forward as a band as well, don't you? You always want to, like...
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
To a degree.
Well, there's that. I don't know. I mean, thinking back on the article that I read that sort of prompted this, maybe he wasn't always talking about necessarily, like, huge bands, you know. Maybe he just meant any band at any level, and you've got an audience in front of you, you know, to avoid playing the songs that sort of grab that audience in the first place.
I think
maybe
that's
it's
a big
bit
mistake,
of a kick
yeah.
in the face. But yeah, it's just interesting. I don't know. It was just a kind of interesting point, and interesting to hear his take on it. Because if I'm honest, knowing what I do know about the guy, I would have thought he'd have had the entirely opposite opinion. I'd have thought he'd have gone, play what you want as an artist. You know what I mean? Play.
Yeah.
It was interesting to hear that. You know.
Yeah, you do form. Well, yeah.
You do form an opinion.
He is an easy guy to form an opinion on, I thought. But yeah, obviously, that's fair. No, that's. I agree with him. I completely agree with him there. Well, I mean, our kind of more popular songs. Well, I mean, we do leave them out of the sets occasionally, don't we, for different purposes, because we don't think they'll go down well in certain settings. But
well, we've got so many. We've got, you know.
No,
but the songs that we consider...
Horatio, for instance, that's the obvious one, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, really, because everyone's different. You know, there's a lot of people that have jumped on board in the last year, 18 months, and they've kind of... I would say that their idea of what our most popular songs are, you know, it's much more recent stuff. And then they probably look at all that kind of stuff, you know, Ratio,
wow.
Tokyo Nails as like older stuff, old, you know,
yeah,
older
maybe,
material.
Yeah. We are guilty of that, though. We're not playing. Well, if you look at the Spotify stats, Balloonhead is the big one, isn't it? We never play that, do we, really?
Not often. It's not a festival kind of thing. And
yeah.
It's weird. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't put that in the top 10, in my top 10 songs that we've written at all. In It Together's up there, and I can get that. I like, I think In It Together's a good song.
And House of Noise,
yeah. That kind of makes sense. But yeah, there's plenty of other good songs that, you know.
Curry Song.
Yeah. I think Please Stay Calm's great. Gone Are the Days off the new album. How the Screw You is good.
Gone Are the Days is my favourite song to play at the moment of ours.
Yeah,
I'm glad we play that.
It's a good, it's really a good tune.
But yeah, going back to bands that purposefully... Yeah, I don't know why some bands do that. You do read without naming bands. You do read about bands going out on the road and playing a completely weirdo
random
set.
Yeah.
And you do think to yourself, why have they done that? I wonder if it's a little bit of pretentiousness there. You know, or,
definitely.
You know, is it a pretentious move? Ah, yeah. Fuck it, we're going to do what we want for.
Exactly.
I've been doing this for years and I'm sick of playing this shit. Let's play fucking, yeah, let's play our first album in full. That's what we're going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, but to hardcore fans, that's, I suppose it matters how commercial your band is as well. I don't know. To hardcore fans, that might be the most amazing thing they've ever seen.
Exactly. That's the thing. A band's kind of demographic, really, you know, you've got your heart, you know, you've got the hardcore fans and then you've got the more casual fans. Mm. There's a band I really like. You'll probably know who I'm on about, but I'm not going to mention any names. Loved them for a long time. But I've seen them a lot. And there's certain songs that are their, you know, hits, the yeah. big songs that I would gladly never hear live again. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you know who it is. And I love them. And there was a time I loved them songs, you know, and I still do, but I'll never listen to them just because it's like, I don't know, I just heard it too much. Just,
yeah.
I would love nothing more than to hear a set list, you know, of deep cuts and stuff. And it just be like, you know, I'd love that more than anything, but then probably 70-80% of the audience would
just hear, would,
yeah,
hear
because they want to hear that.
We don't know how many times they've been to see them as well, don't you? That makes a big difference, doesn't it? I mean, not everybody goes to gigs, is it? It's just, I mean, you're sort of in a band and you are surrounded by people that their life revolves around shows. It amazes me. Before I was in a band, I didn't even know people went to gigs as much as they did. You know, it was their thing. I was like, so some people, it's like, oh, I'm going to go and watch such and such. Oh, I've treated myself to a ticket. I've not been to a gig in 10 years. Or, you know, they go once in a blue moon.
Mm.
And those people really do want to hear that.
They do, right. Yeah,
they
yeah.
want to hear.
That's it.
You know, they've saved up for a ticket. Because the tickets are that expensive. People can't go all the time, can they?
Yeah. But then there's other bands that, like, I would say is the opposite way around. I would say, like, you know, 80% of the fan base is like that, and they go to hear the different things, you know. So it tends to be more on the kind of proggier side of things, if I'm honest, you know. Bands like Rush, Marillion, Porcupine Tree, you know, any of that kind of stuff. Dream Theater.
Am I right in saying that, I mean, I like a bit of prog. I'm not hardcore. Not, I don't live my life listening to it, but I would say as an assumption that a lot of prog fans, they revel in that.
Yeah,
in the weirdness.
Yeah, exactly.
Though that bunch of fans in particular would love nothing more than to see the weirdo shit that they never play.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, you know, like to come away going,
Def Leppard fans want to hear
they're going to hear Hysteria album, you know, plus a few others.
Mm.
Having said that, I think Def Leppard have got some great songs throughout their entire career.
Yeah, it's just in their nature. They were a big, huge commercial band to a lot of people, weren't they? And people do want to hear the sing. They want to sing along, don't they?
Yeah, I do. I do think this is kind of band dependent, really.
Yeah.
You know, certain,
do you get many sing-alongs at Rush gigs? Do people sing along? Yeah. What's the crowd like at Rush gigs?
I wouldn't say Rush, and I think them themselves have never really given it much thought. But I know they. I know they'd never. I would be.
Is it all blokes?
Oh yeah, definitely. That's the joke. I think that's the running joke in the band.
All right,
you know?
All right.
What's that film they were in? They're in a film. Is it I Love You, Man, with Paul Rudd and whatever? And
I've not seen that.
They're in it, you know, and Jason Segel, and they're like mad Rush fans, and they go to a Rush gig and they end up bumping into him, and I think they're overhearing them talk or something backstage, and they can hear him go, "Did you see there was a girl in the front row?" You know,
I do like Rush. Their sense of humor is great.
Yeah, they have a really good sense. But I mean, funny. I wouldn't say they were like they sort of straddle that prog classic rock kind of line. I don't know. Whereas there's bands that are much more, I would say, progressive than them. You know, anyway, I'm still talking about Rush.
They had one song less than 7 minutes, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
Certainly, in the 70s, there were a lot more.
That's borderline commercial, isn't it?
I guess, yeah. It's when they're wearing kimonos and stuff, you can't really, escape that. So bands like that, I guess, you know, get away with it, but I don't think that's what Josh was getting at.
No, of course he wasn't.
I think he was getting more, you know, more at the bands that had maybe known
on
a wider, casual kind of basis for one or two songs, and they don't play them.
They don't play.
You know, it'd be like Chesney Hawkes not playing the one and only. You know, that kind of thing.
Like
I'm sure he's got loads of songs.
I like that song.
But you know, and I'm sure he does play it. maybe twice.
Of course he fucking does. I think he does, to be honest.
Does
I,
he?
Know, I know some people that have been to them 80s Butlins Weekenders. And I said, oh, it's Chesney Hawkes. Love that song. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, he played it 5 times or something like that. It just goes round and round.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, you can imagine, can't you? I bet it's buzzing. But he can't. But he must love that. He can't get tired. He can't get tired of the reaction that song has. He must. He probably hates that song, and I bet he never practices it. But when he fires it up and everyone goes bananas, that's the magic, isn't it?
Yeah, that
to
is
me,
the magic,
that's
yeah.
the magic, isn't it? I would bang a pan on my head if it got everybody, gung, gung, gung. If everybody was like going nuts and like into it, then that's the reaction, you know, I'm after anyway.
I mean, you've got one hit wonders, and then you've got bands that are
no hit wonders,
and then you've got no hit wonders, yeah, and then you got bands that are like, you know. Have a few, you know, they may have had one big album and there's a few songs on that album and they avoid playing the songs from that album because they've continued their career and written, you know, 7 or 8 more albums and out, you know, out of some sort of like, no, we don't want
to, that's not who we are anymore.
Exactly, you know they sort of shun it a bit. I think that's the point that he was sort of making.
Well, but, I mean, I'm a little bit, I have to make, when we write our set, I have to make myself... I don't like to dismiss it. Well, you write most of the sets because you guys know what guitar changes you do, because I don't write a set because I don't know what order they should go in, because that's a big part to play in our set list order, doesn't it? Guitar changes,
yeah.
What sounds good, but...
There
are songs that I see and think, I'd rather not do that, but I do have to make myself go, no, I understand people like that. A Red Dress is a prime example. I know people love it, but it's very different. Yeah. Very different to where we are now, and I sometimes think. But then when we're on stage and we play it, and everyone's loving it, I'm going, "Yeah, this is great. I love it." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You. I think. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's lots of things to consider, isn't there? And the fact that you can ask yourself and go look at the bigger picture, not just do I like that song or not? That's important. You know,
no, it's very important. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's a balance, like with most things.
I want to give everybody... You want to give every... Well, one of our objectives is to give every... Make sure everybody in the room has a good night. And hopefully everybody in the room hears a song that they want to hear.
Yep.
That's the goal, isn't it? I think when you... I don't know, maybe it works for different bands. They have different... Everybody's different, aren't they? If they're doing it for themselves, then... I don't know. Is that selfish or is that art or is that a bit pretentious? I don't know, really. I don't know. You'd think that if that was their nature and that was their behaviour, that would have come through before and it would attract the relevant fans that don't mind it, perhaps.
Yeah.
This is what they're like, isn't it? They're a bit weird and we like that.
It's an odd topic, but I thought it was an interesting one to talk about. And thank you, Josh, for the...
Well, he's a strange character, isn't he? I don't really know. He's very a bit elusive. He knows everyone, doesn't he? Mr. Popular, isn't he? Mr. Cool.
You know,
he's a big fan of Dave Grohl, isn't he? Well, he was in the band, wasn't he, Dave Grohl?
I think he did that album, the Songs for the Deaf.
And then you got the other band, don't you, that he's connected with? What's the other one called? Eagles of Death Metal. There was them two bands that came out around the same time. Well, for me, I don't know.
I'm not sure what he's got to do with them, because I know he's not in them.
I think he's just mates. I think, at the time, again, Ash will probably clear all this up in the comments, won't he? At the time, I seem to remember... him kind of bringing the band to relevance, to the fore, like, and then...
Yeah, he's...
Jesse Hughes, he's called. He looks a bit like him,
doesn't he? Yeah, I was going to say, well, they're both...
Cowboy
both
shirts
similar.
And ginger hair, isn't it?
Yeah, what they call it, desert rock.
Desert rock.
Yeah, desert rock, yeah. I know what I call it, but... We'll leave it
it's
at that.
Before 9 o'clock.
No, it's all right.
Oh, I like
his
big songs,
they're
good.
It's just not... It's not my,
your cup of yogurt. It's not your cup of sand, is it?
Yeah, no, not my cup of sand. Yeah, June rock.
Yeah.
Other news. I thought I mentioned while we're here.
Cleared that up anyway.
We're off to Northern Ireland and Ireland.
See the wizard
for some dates. For doing some gigs in over the water for the first time in years, really. You know, and we've been promising this to our. To our Irish chums for a long time. We're doing just a handful of dates in December 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dates are as follows. Belfast, mm-hmm. We're playing... we are apparently playing the Limelight. See, I thought...
Here we go.
I thought we were playing somewhere else, but we're playing the Limelight. So, Belfast, Limelight, And that's on the 15th of December.
Yeah, it is.
We're playing Cookstown, the railway bar.
Of course we are.
Which is...
Going to melt some faces in there.
Going to melt some absolute faces.
Fucking roof insurance. Yeah.
I think that's not a very big place, so it's going to be a good night.
Be sweaty, that one.
And then we're heading down the road into Dublin, and we're playing Whelan's on the 17th of December.
Have we played there before?
No, never that one. I think it was...
Where did we play?
Voodoo Lounge?
Voodoo Lounge. That place, yeah.
But... it's going to be great. Really can't wait. It's been a long time coming.
It has.
And if you were over there, please share the word and
spread the love.
Spread the love
if you like.
And I've just got a good feeling, you know.
Every time I've been over there, it's been great. They love it. It's always a great atmosphere over there. We played the Diamond. We've played Voodoo Lounge.
The people are very much our people. Anyway.
Yeah, they love a good rocking night. Don't they?
Love the crack, and it's a good. Not in the same way that people from some other cities we play love the crack.
Different kind of crack.
Different kind of crack.
Different kind of crack entirely.
But no, it's going to be great. So, you know, if you're over there or you fancy it.
Yeah. Or if you've never been, get yourself
head
a ticket.
For something different.
Get on the ferry.
Get yourself away.
A few sherbets on the ferry.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Want to have it?
Yeah, I'd advise the ferry from, is it like from the Stranraer Peninsula,
yeah.
Like Cairn Ryan or whatever
That's
it is.
That's right, yeah.
Do that one and not the Liverpool one because that one's like 8 hours long.
Is it?
Yeah, and a bit choppier.
Fucking hell.
Not
choppers on the Stranraer one at all, to be honest.
it's going to be good. So yeah, thank you. Right. If you've not, do the whole like subscribe thing, you know.
Yeah.
Standard YouTube stuff. And if you're listening elsewhere, do whatever you need to do to follow this. But we'll be back next week
with more news,
with some more music related nonsense. Ciao.
Ciao.